From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In the grips of a deep recession and an unrelenting debt crisis, the Greek cabinet has approved a budget for parliamentary consideration. The spending plan includes a decision to cut civil service staff by 30,000 by the end of the year. The next installment of a critical bailout loan depends upon this new budget. A big headache in New York City this weekend for the financial district. And for anyone trying to cross the Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday, police say roughly 700 protesters were arrested as they shut down a lane of Brooklyn Bridge traffic for several hours. They face charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Occupy Wall Street demonstrators are railing against corporate greed, global warming, and social inequality, among other grievances. British Prime Minister David Cameron is warning the Eurozone crisis risks harming Britain's economy and stunting global growth. Speaking on the opening day of his Conservative Party's annual conference, Cameron said that he would stick to his coalition's deficit-cutting plans despite signs the British economy is stalling. A day after President Obama chastised the Republican presidential hopefuls for allowing an audience at a debate to boo a gay soldier, NPR's Allison Keyes tells us GOP candidate Herman Cain says he should have defended that soldier.
Cain says it wasn't the intent of anyone on stage at the GOP debate to disrespect the soldier who asked the candidates a question. But he tells ABC's This Week the heat of a debate with 60 seconds to answer the moderator was not the time to try and figure out why the crowd was booing.
I happen to think that maybe they were booing the whole don't ask, don't tell repeal more so than booing that soldier. But we didn't know that.
In a separate interview, former Republican presidential candidate John McCain also said the GOP candidate should have defended the soldier because men and women in the military should be treated with the highest regard. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
In a bid for conservative support, GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney is promising to appoint conservative Supreme Court justices if he becomes president. The former Massachusetts governor spoke on Mike Huckabee's Fox News show this weekend. U.S. Chief Justice John Roberts and five other justices attended the traditional Red Mass in Washington, held annually the day before the first Monday in October. Washington Cardinal Donald Wuerl officiated at St. Matthew's Cathedral.
We come together to salute and to pray for all of those who have such a significant role in the administration of justice in our nation.
Not attending the Mass today at St. Matthew's, the three women on the Supreme Court. This is NPR News. A Syrian state-run newspaper, Al-Bath, is warning American Ambassador Robert Ford against meddling in Syrian affairs if he wants to avoid more rotten eggs attacks. The publication is charging that Ford has been supporting armed anti-government groups in Syria. Supporters of President Bashar al-Assad pelted Ford with eggs on Thursday as he visited a prominent Syrian opposition figure. The man behind the lens who helped create the Beatles' public image has died. Larry Miller looks back on photographer Robert Whitaker's work.
Robert Whitaker shot many of the Beatles' most well-known photographs and album covers. I've just seen a face, I can't forget the time. Perhaps his best-known cover was the one few saw, withdrawn after an uproar, in the controversial Butcher cover of the 1966 American version of Yesterday and Today. Whitaker posed the Beatles in white coats, surrounded by decapitated dolls and slabs of raw meat. He would later explain the picture was a meditation on fame and an attempt to shake up the band's teeny bopper image. Whitaker got the job with the Beatles after photographing manager Brian Epstein for the Jewish News. Epstein was so impressed, he hired him. Robert Whitaker died of cancer, age 71. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Hurricane Ophelia is strongly positioned in the northern Atlantic and moving toward Newfoundland. It's expected to weaken slightly as it approaches land. Rescuers are struggling to reach those stranded in the northern Philippines after a second typhoon in less than a week. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.